B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, Lop ain't pulling any punches today, boy.
No, I just said to him, I said, good one, babe. Good one. Guess
he's got
turn
a
up, Jim.
Woody for the weekend. I ain't going to double back, no. Don't want to misplay. Put on no display. An angel knows, it sucks, I can't sing.
All right, let's get into it. Hour number two here on Zolak and Bertrand. There's a new poll that has been released. What?
Nothing. New poll's released.
Yeah, I heard what you said. And now I know what you said. Don't say what you said yesterday, that's all. You've now gained a new perspective
okay,
on.
Okay, so real quick, we need to talk about what I said yesterday.
Yeah, let's do
but
that.
I'm not going to say what I said yesterday.
Please don't.
And I'm sitting here with the adults in our house and trying to, hey, how'd the show go? What'd you guys talk about? I said, I don't understand it. You know, Jim dumped something that I said because we were talking about something where I thought that this saying was resembling something else.
Self-gratification is what you thought it was.
Right.
100% right hand to God. May you take every snap I've ever thrown or every golf club I've gotten for free away.
Yeah.
So now we know he's serious.
Floored. Yes. Absolutely floored by it. And you guys know I'm like, why'd you dump that, Jim? You're like, what? Well, you had to. Like, what are you talking about? I've heard that so many times before. And I just always thought it was something else because of the action of making something, you know?
Because of the, I mean, you could have a.
There's nothing.
Different ways to start your meal, whether it's a soup. Or a salad.
Yes.
And there are
yes.
different ways of preparing a salad. You can have
McDonald's used to have the shaker. Remember, you get it in the car and you put
the salad. Yeah, you could have a mixed greens. You could have a tossed salad. And, you know, that one particular phrase, you thought it was an act that could be performed solo.
Right.
You didn't know what the true meaning of that phrase was.
I never thought centipede. Ever. If you would say, here's that phrase, and here's the six things it could represent in another... I can't even talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you really shouldn't.
You would, and I would never take that line and draw it to this one and say, bam, that's what it means.
Well, in your defense,
phrase,
though...
You're thinking, what?
In your defense, the act really doesn't match the name. You know what I'm saying?
Right, because of the word toss.
Any part of it. There's no leafy green anything
going
on.
None of it resembles anything that people think it's supposed to represent.
Right.
It is the one outlier that I am. I almost lost sleep over this.
That particular item, to my knowledge, has rarely contains jelly or syrup, so I understand where you wouldn't know.
Okay. Well, now we've got it out there that you now have the proper definition.
Yes.
I'm floored by it.
Great. Yahoo has this story. The majority of Americans now support NFL players kneeling for the anthem. They write, in the wake of nationwide demonstrations in support of Black Lives Matter and similar protests, a majority of Americans, 52%, now agree that it is okay for NFL players to kneel during the national anthem to protest police killings of African Americans. Now, 36% of respondents say it's the inappropriate thing to do. And 12% answered not sure. That is the latest polling on the matter. I looked up what it was back in September of 2017, when the issue first sort of came to the forefront. And there was a PBS NewsHour and Marist poll that took place at the end of September of 17. And at that time, 48% of Americans said it was respectful, 46% said it was disrespectful, and 6% said they were unsure. So the number of people who are unsure that are contemplating has doubled from 6% to 12%, and the percentage of people who have said it is respectful has gone from 48% to 52%, which means, just based on those two polls, and it's not by the same outlet, but that means 10% of Americans have reconsidered their thoughts on this issue. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Because I think you've learned more about it, right? And because you think, okay, song, flag, military, and it's disrespecting the military. And then you read more about it, you understand, and you stop and you listen to people talk about it, and this is why we're doing it, and this is what we're doing it for. Then you start to understand it better. I think there's a better understanding than the previous poll. There has to be. There's too much awareness about it now.
But we've sort of been wondering, like, you know, we said some people have changed their mind. 1 in 10, does that sound like the number you would expect to hear? 1 in 10 people have reconsidered their thoughts on it.
I mean, if you get anybody to reconsider, that's good. That's a good thought.
That's
right?
How I look at it. Like, yeah. 10%, it's not 2%.
That's a start.
It's not 4%. 10% is a start.
Well, it's a hell of a lot better. It's like, no, you can't do it. Disrespectful. You know, you don't like our army. Yeah.
Meanwhile, there is a thought about, despite this support, story from the AP, NFL players who want to kneel during the anthem protests during the national anthem to protest police brutality have far more support now than Colin Kaepernick did 4 years ago. Still, it may not be widespread. A couple of reasons. Organizations may insist on unity. Some coaches and front office execs have already mentioned that whatever they do, they want it to be united. They want it to be the entire team. The other thing might be that players have decided that this is not going to be the way to change minds or get, you know, draw attention to an issue that obviously is now at the forefront. So we may not see widespread kneeling during the anthem in the fall. It may not even happen.
Right.
Players may not even feel the need to do it, or may not want to continue doing it, or may not want to put up with the accusations that it's about the flag and about disrespect.
Right.
And so I'm curious to know if it even happens.
Well, this goes back to what we talked about like last week or something, where I said, you know, the reason why it was, I guess, an effective means of protest before was that it was not widely accepted. It was something that drew attention. It was something that, and we disagreed on this, but I still think there's a healthy amount of, no, Colin Kaepernick and the people who were kneeling at first did it because it made other people uncomfortable. They were doing it to, you know, for lack of a better phrase, cause some trouble.
Kaepernick said that too. Kaepernick's always big thing was you make them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, except Colin Kaepernick was also the same guy who, when approached by Nate Boyer, said, you know, he said this would be far more respectful for you to do it this way. He listened and said, okay, I'll do it that way. If that's going to be more respectful and that's respecting people, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to make sure we mention that and give Colin Kaepernick credit for that.
Absolutely. And he wasn't doing it to be, look, he wasn't going out there and, you know, wearing the flag as a diaper. He wasn't pulling a Larry Flint.
Well,
you know,
I'm just saying, if his goal was to piss people off, he would have said, no, Nate Boyer, F you. I'm going to keep sitting down and do what I'm doing because that's what pisses people off.
Because
that's not what he did. He listened to someone and said, if that's okay, I'll do it that way. If that's, you know, more respectful and you consider that respectful as a decorated veteran, then yes, I will absolutely do it that way for you. I don't want to be perceived as being disrespectful to you, and thank you for all that you've done. That's what he said to Nate Boyer.
Yes, because there's a line between doing something that's going to draw attention and is going to rile some people up and doing something that's so offensive that you're going to alienate everybody, including those people who agree with you and your cause. So you strike a balance. I mean, are you saying that what he did didn't offend some people?
And no,
what
he was doing did and it, but I don't think that was his goal. I don't think he set out to offend people as a way of getting drawing more attention to the issue that he was discussing and he was talking about.
You're hung up on the whole notion of offending and making people uncomfortable. That, I mean, it's not.
I'm not. You're the one that keeps bringing it up. No, no, no. I don't.
When you
keep
do anything out of the norm,
you keep saying. But you keep saying. You keep saying he wasn't trying to do anything.
Every time we have this conversation, you go down that avenue.
He knew he was
going to
ruffle feathers.
Well, what the hell are we talking about? We're not talking about cotton candy. We're talking about the idea of whether or not this is acceptable and whether or not it's offensive. And I'm saying that part of the reason why he did it is it was done as a means to draw attention. If nobody cared and everybody thought it was okay, then he wouldn't have done that. Issue. That's part of what you do. It's part of the reason why.
It's part of the protest.
It's whether it's a protest or whether it's comedy or anything. The idea of it is that not everybody thinks it's okay. It's going to make some people uncomfortable. Now, the fact that Kaepernick did consult somebody who was a veteran and someone that played the game as a means to, like, okay, this isn't so far out of bounds that it's completely unacceptable. This is a good fine, but he knew damn well that this was going to be something that was going to irk people. So now, as it becomes more acceptable, and you have a majority of Americans, according to this story, who now say yes, they find it an acceptable means of protest. Is this something that players are going to want to do? Do they still see it as this symbolic gesture that it was before? You know, it's if it is going to be, you know, as widely accepted as we now believe it is going to be, there may be something else that they choose to do that will somehow continue to keep the conversation going. If it becomes commonplace, then it lacks the power behind the gesture.
So there's been a lot of no kneeling tweets from the president in recent days. Have you seen those?
Yes.
Seen those tweets? What do you think he's rooting for in the fall?
Stand.
Yeah.
He's rooting for national anthem and stand.
My guess is he's rooting for him to kneel again. And that if I were a player in that position as someone who kneeled, I might consider that, whether or not you want to give that guy the satisfaction. Because I think that is something that he likes to rally around and he likes to get people fired up about.
Get his base going.
And if all of a sudden everybody lines up before the game in the NFL and they're all standing and he can't rally around that or make that a rallying cry, I think there's something to that. I read those tweets and say, what are you actually rooting for come fall? What are you rooting for the NFL players to do? 617-779-0985. Michael Wilbon had some very strong comments about the city of Boston yesterday. And also, Torrey Hunter has responded to the Red Sox in a tweet. We'll get to all of this on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand at 11:22. Torrey Hunter replied to the Red Sox and their statement that they put out. He replied on Twitter, that is. He actually retweeted the statement and he put much love. So he has given a little bit of a comment there on the Red Sox putting out their statement a couple of days ago. He tweeted out, change starts now, much love, with a number of emojis after that. And this was the Red Sox statement that came out 2 days ago. It was discussed yesterday on ESPN. It was on, pardon the interruption, PTI, Wilbon, and Kornheiser. And Michael Wilbon is, he's very passionate in what he has to say about his experiences as an African-American in the city of Boston. Have a listen.
I don't know which one shocked me more. NASCAR saying we're getting rid of the Confederate flag or an admission in Boston. And I've had this experience. See, this is where the conversation goes, where black people all have one conversation, and apparently most white people have another. Because my problem with Boston, and first of all, nothing with the Red Sox. Torrey Hunter said, this has nothing to do with the players or the organization. This has to do with Boston.
That's right.
All right? The only times I've been called an N-word to my face in public have been in Boston Garden. The Red Sox don't play there. The Celtics do, okay? The only time I feared for my life on the streets, feared for my life, I was with David Dupree, who you know well, and we were in Boston covering a series, and we wound up in South Boston, and a cab driver, a white cab driver, screeches over to the curb and says, get in. I don't know where you guys think you are, okay? So black people, all of us, or close enough to all of us, have had the conversation about Boston forever.
That is Michael Wilbon yesterday describing his experiences here in the city of Boston, claiming it's the only place he's ever been called that word in public was at Boston Garden. He is obviously very fired up about it. But I would say this. This is my only thing that I would correct in there. This is not the first admission from the Red Sox. This statement that they put out this week is not the first one they've had like this. They did this 3 years ago when the Adam Jones incident happened.
Yep.
And I only say it because I think it was part of their motivation to put out this one, too. I think that those events for them are sort of tied together.
Who else is getting heckled, too? Wasn't it Crawford?
He was, but it, that I believe was at a minor league rehab
stint.
That's
in the minor league one.
Still here. I think it was, what, Manchester? Where was he?
Yeah, north. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire? Yeah. So that was Michael Wilbon yesterday, and well, I would say that Boston's racist reputation isn't going away anytime soon, is what I would say. The reputation is probably going to be reinforced with statements like that.
Too, and I know the incidents happened here, or they think that they happened or heard them here and they reported them, but I got to think this goes on in every city. This isn't just a Boston thing, right? This is the reason why people are going nuts all over this country.
I want to say that, Zoe.
I've been here since 91. I've never heard that word out in public. I've heard it in the locker room. Heard it in the locker room. But that's in locker room talk. You know, I haven't heard that word thrown out. Just, hey, someone screams like, that's a freaking break your neck head turner. It really is. I don't care where you're at, whether you're walking on the street, whether you're at a game,
but that's not,
or in a restaurant.
That's not a good gauge. I mean, you have never been walking down the street as a black guy with another black guy.
I can't judge that, right?
So,
and I can't say that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have heard that. And
you're right.
You know, how many times, I don't know. There's some people who are just going to deny this. It never happened. It's all a lie. And, you know, you would have heard something about it. How many people are going to have to tell the story? Do you think, is Wilbon the type of guy that would just make this up?
No.
I mean, but what do you generally think of Michael Wilbon?
No, I don't think he would make it up.
I think a reporter.
Straight
shooter. Straight shooter,
I think the
right?
question you're asking, though, Hardy, is the right one. How many more people are going to have to share their story before you start saying, oh, maybe there are some, maybe there are more than the average number of racist people in my town.
That's it. That's it. No one's saying it only exists in Boston. No one's
right.
saying it doesn't happen. Could it be? You know, would you accept into the realm of possibility that people have experienced a disproportionate number of these incidents in this town? Because that's the story we keep hearing.
You know what I don't understand? I don't understand the people that lose their mind over it. Like, are you a racist? No. Well, then what are you pissed off about?
Yeah.
If you know you haven't contributed to that, what's your problem? What is your issue?
That your town gets tagged.
No, what is your problem?
That's a Boston problem. Yeah.
Like, why, to be as offended about the reputation of Boston versus what someone has actually gone through. Like, I'm not directing that at you.
Yeah,
please,
right,
don't take that the wrong way. I'm not directing.
Some people,
but
yeah.
there are people that are like, you know, where's the proof? I don't know. Have you ever heard it? You ever heard someone get called that before? I have.
Yep, so like, you have. Yeah.
It happens. Did you call someone that? No. Well, then what are you so mad about? No one accused you personally of anything. And this is what Wilbon's getting to. Oh, at least you're starting to own it a little bit. At least someone in your city starting to own it a little bit. I did start to think, what year was that that Michael Wilbon was in South Boston when he got picked up by the cab driver? It certainly wasn't recently.
He said definitely. Boston Garden. Do you think he meant the old garden, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think it was years ago. I think what he's talking about was a number of years ago, but the South Boston thing.
Well, how about the cab? When's the last time you saw a cab?
Look out. You're going, yeah, exactly. You go to South Boston now. Look out for, the metrosexual with a chai latte. Woohoo! Dangerous times over there. Yeah.
Hi, Michael. Hi.
The good news, Michael, is you should feel totally comfortable going to South Boston now. If you come back anytime soon, and nothing to worry about over there. But yeah, that's all. I hear that, and I'm like, wow, this guy has been very much impacted in his life by his trips here. If you want to deny him that, you want to demand that he provide the receipts or something, feel free. But I don't think it reflects well when you do that.
And the other thing I would say, Beetle, is, you say to the people who deny that it happens, and it's like, what's your problem? What's the problem with someone saying something like this? Why does it bother you? My question is, and what I ask those people is, why would anyone make that up? And what is Tory Hunter or Michael Wilbon have to gain by just completely fabricating and inventing this story? Okay, say that he did. Why? Why would he make that up? But play it out for me. Beginning to end, he's gonna make up this story, completely invent it, and then stick to it for years. And a guy like Wilbon is just gonna go on the air and make up that story? Make up his feelings about the town and about his experience here? Why? Why would he do that? And I've yet to get a good or acceptable answer to that question.
Because he doesn't like the Celtics. what is it? I don't know. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. In addition to this, Kevin Youkilis, who I don't think has any reason to make something up, shared his experience of watching one of his teammates go through a racial incident at Fenway Park. We'll get to that coming up next, and your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand, with some breaking news. Marty, go ahead.
Statement from the Bruins. Phase 2 of the NHL's return to play plan requires all players to be tested for COVID-19 prior to using the team's facilities. As part of this process, the Bruins were advised that a player tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. The player underwent 2 subsequent tests and both returned negative. The player remains asymptomatic. Bruins will continue to follow CDC recommendations and adhere to the NHL's protocol.
So a player contracted it and didn't have symptoms.
Yes.
And still has no symptoms despite
that in Alabama.
Negative.
Yes. It's like that in Alabama. A bunch of the guys that tested positive down there, they have not sick, anything. Just, I have it.
That's the version of COVID I think everybody would like to have.
Oh,
no kidding. Great.
I'll take that.
I can get it with no symptoms.
Maybe that's
and
because they're healthy
immunity?
And in shape.
Yeah, and maybe
it's
more
like a vaccine having it that way.
Just as important, at the end of the statement, they say all Bruins players who have returned to this point during phase 2 have now returned negative test results. So everybody's been negative except for this one player who tested positive and then never had symptoms. 2 subsequent tests, remains asymptomatic. So that's the latest. That's the statement from the Bruins just a couple of minutes ago.
Okay, and so they're entering phase 2 now, is it, that they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the 10th is when they start, right?
They announced phase 2, phase 3, right?
Yes.
Phase three, they announced July 10th, and that's when training camps are starting.
Yeah, yeah. Training camp starts July 10th.
I'd feel better about, you know, phase two and phase three if they had that pesky little agreement on resuming play.
Yeah.
So far, they don't have that. They haven't actually agreed to this. And that was part of the announcement yesterday. They will begin on July 10th, phase three of the return to play plan, if the parties have reached an overall agreement on resuming play. This seems like a minor detail.
What phase does the schedule come out?
What's that, Jim?
What phase does the schedule come out?
Yeah, I know. That's
like phase eight, Jim.
That should come out before phase three, shouldn't it? Shouldn't we get that at some point in the next month?
You'd have it by now.
I would think everybody agreeing to play should be, I don't know, phase one-ish.
Like, yeah.
You guys want to have a season? Let's start there. Yes, we do. Good.
Are they getting paid right now?
Done.
Are they even getting paid in phase one?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe so. But
Marshall was skating with Bergeron at the Warrior.
Yeah.
And they're skating in small groups.
The fact that we are still so far away, I mean, I say far, we're talking 6 weeks to the NBA at this point, or 7 weeks to the NBA start of the season. Based on some of the data and some possibility of there being a resurgence of COVID-19 after things have been relaxed, I do have a fear that in 7 weeks there could be more players who decide they don't want to take part. We got a little bit of a ways to go before we get to the season. If the season were to start today, I think players across the NHL and the NBA, I'm not even going to get to Major League Baseball, but those two leagues, of course, we're going to play. I feel like that number could grow over the next 7 weeks, and I think it's something worth watching. And I wonder if those numbers start to go back up, if that impacts whatever negotiation happens between the NHL and their players, because they, as you said, don't have an agreement. It's not done. Something to think about, something to keep an eye on.
But I'll give him credit for going out there and skating anyway. You know, we saw Marchand the other day out there
with
Bergeron.
At least it looks like they want to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to some of these other sports.
And you know, it is difficult to imagine that these guys would be returning from wherever they've been, whether they were down in Florida or wherever they're getting back, if they were getting back on the ice without a real sense that this was just a minor detail. It doesn't seem minor, but I got to believe these guys wouldn't be going through the trouble of, you know, forget about skating. If you're already here, you might as well go do something, right? But
yeah.
If you're coming back from out of town and you're making a road trip to get back from wherever you were and you got a family and all that stuff, would you be doing that if you weren't real, real sure that it was going to lead to something? So I think it's going to happen. I'd still feel better if they had the plan in place. They have, I don't know, maybe announced like what the hub cities were.
Oh, yeah, that could help.
Give us an idea of the time frame, the scheduling. It's just, you know, tiny stuff.
Former Red Sox player Kevin Youkilis went on the radio on The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker and talked about his time as a Red Sox player in Boston. I believe we have the audio of this, Jim. Let's cue it up and play it.
You know, being a fan favorite there, being a white guy, being, you know, Jewish in Brookline right down the street is a very Jewish neighborhood. I was lucky. You know, they love me, but I did see some tension with even my own teammates. And there was one incident where a fan came running down and was being extra harsh towards one of our black players. And I just got fed up and I stood up and I told him to shut the F up. And if he doesn't like it, get the hell out of here. And I'll never forget that moment because I was boiling, because you could just see it was this tension, and it wasn't the same tension that was towards a white player. But, you know, for the most part, I'd like to say, too, though, the Red Sox fans, you know, it's not the majority. It's a minority of people that act like that. But, you know, the minority is too big, and you have to eliminate that, and there's no place for that.
Doesn't exactly say what it is that happened, but indicates it was motivated by race. That's what I take from that. Maybe you just didn't think there was any way you could tell the story.
I mean, to me, it sounded like just some fan went over the board and was heckling the one black player, and Kevin had enough of it. So I'm not going to deal with this in our dugout. Just get the hell out of here. Got tired of hearing it, as I'm sure anybody would.
So that was from Kevin Youkilis yesterday. Thought we'd play that for you, following up on the previous discussion. Chris is in Worcester. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. First time, long time. And I've got to say real quick, silver lining to this quarantine is that usually I only get to hear you guys when I'm in my car on my lunch break. Since I'm working from home, I get to hear the whole show every day, and I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I wanted to respond to whether you think it matters if the players are going to kneel or not. I don't think it matters what they do either way, because Trump is such a disconnected from reality sociopath that if they do kneel, he'll use it as a rallying point, like you said, saying that they are disrespecting our patriotic and fabled flag. And if they don't kneel, then he'll say it's because he's a big, tough guy president and they are respecting his authority.
Is so much less effective, the second thing. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
I think he just likes to be proven right no matter what. So to him, it's really a win-win situation.
Yeah, I would say that if they kneel and he can rally around that, it's better. It's better for what he likes to do. Because even if he does take credit for it, he takes credit. But I just don't think that has a lot of legs as something to rally around and preach about and get up, you know, get people riled up about. Can't do that. That's sort of off brand for him. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I would say.
I was thinking about, like, what else can they do other than, okay, we've seen it before too, where they all stood. But then they had the fist in the air, you know, as far as, you know, we're going to have some sort of a demonstration as opposed to just standing. We're not going to stand and use it. We're going to do something. And whatever it is, it's going to be, whoever doesn't like it is going to talk about it and say, well, that's disrespectful now, too, because you're taking it another step. I don't know what there is to do. You know, I could just maybe eliminate the damn thing prior to games and keep it for the Super Bowl. That's the biggest thing, or the World Series, or the NBA Finals, or Stanley Cup Finals. You know, them in Canada, back and forth. I don't know. Eliminate this a part date, of every game, you water it out. You know?
This date in show history is on deck. It's on the way right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
No, just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I think we did this every day this week. This date in show history. Today is the 12th of June.
No, it's a fantastic segment. The people love it. It's quickly become a fan favorite.
Rave reviews.
Yep. Everybody's talking about this date in show history. Zolak and Bertrand.
Yes.
So on this date, gentlemen, the 12th yes. of June, we go back to the year 2015. You both were very upset on this date 5 years ago. About the certain head coach, manager, something about a certain local team.
John Farrell? Johnny Boy?
Had to have been, right? It's got to be Farrell.
Manager is gutless, so.
I'm talking
this
about
is on
having the manager's back.
He should have come out after this game and said,
right.
What Wade Miley did
you.
Is completely unacceptable. I won't accept it on my team. That's not what we're about. We don't do that here. I've talked to him. It won't happen again. Instead, he comes out and says he has good stuff, and I respect him. You are gutless, John Farrell. No balls. This team has no balls, and it's why they're playing the way that they're playing right now. So you know what? I'm starting to change my opinion about the manager. It's time to start thinking about him, putting your house up for sale, because you're going to need a new job soon.
He is a liaison. He's a guy that travels with the team. He's a guy that gives them the schedule. He hands them the itinerary. He tells you where to turn in for tickets. He's making sure David Ortiz shows up today and they get a full squad tomorrow. He's got the nice pants. He's got the look. He's Vidal Sassoon. He's Jordache Jeans, man, when they were hip. He's the it factor.
Yep.
Went to a weird place.
That big jawline. They won 78 games.
78 games is what they won that year in 2015.
What did Miley do?
Remember they had that blow up? Remember they had that blow up like on the mound?
He freaked out on him.
Yeah, didn't they have like a fight? I thought it was like pretty public when they got into it. Because Miley went out and he sucked, didn't he?
It was in the dugout. Yeah.
And he's screaming at him in the dugout.
Yeah, they were screaming at each other. Yeah. They should have fired John Farrell after 2015.
Yes. Well, we're going to skip ahead 3 years now. 2018. We got a caller, and apparently one or more of us were convinced it was someone trying to disguise their voice.
Okay. Mike in Townsend. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's 448 there.
You're Mike.
You're Mike.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you? Hey, Mike. I will go for LeBron after his next one, like we did with Shaq. You know what I mean?
You're making a joke, then.
It's not a joke. He can come in, so yeah. He's not going to come in for the next
one. Yeah, Shaq did a lot for this team when he came in here.
Yeah, I saw him like flop over 8 people in the stands.
Yeah, yeah, he played about 16 games, and then he tapped out for the rest of the season.
Are you a big Shaq fan there, Mike?
Yeah, not really. Hardy, when are we going to have a show on Zoeisms?
Now, do you recall who we thought that was trying to disguise their voice?
Tom Curran.
Correct! Tommy Curran.
Since you played, I thought Tom Curran. I didn't even remember the bit. Not the bit, but I don't even remember this call. So you start saying, okay, somebody's disguised their voice. 3 seconds in, I'm going Tom Curran.
It sounds more like him now than it did back then.
All right, let's listen to a portion of it again.
I don't believe it was him. Townsend, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike, it's 448 there.
Oh, that does sound like you. It's Curran. It's Curran.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan. Dan, how are you?
That sounds like Curran.
It's Curran! God, it's Curran.
I will go for LeBron after his next one, like we did with Shaq. You know what I mean?
You're making a joke.
He's doing a voice. He's doing a bit. He's doing something.
It rolls out of your tongue like molasses.
Yeah.
A little southern drawl. I'm from Savannah.
You're doing Andy from the murder mystery.
Yeah.
Savannah. I know what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. The beginning, yes, but the rest of it, no.
All right. Well, we'll move on then.
Okay.
Tom Curran.
We had a studio guest 2018, 2 years ago.
Who was it?
Somebody stopped in, told us a story about the time he went to a nightclub in New York.
Oh.
Anyone ringing any bells?
Hold on, let me think about that.
It's one of our favorite stories ever told on this show.
On a nightclub? I know what it is. It's Lenny Clark.
Oh, it's Lenny Clark.
It's Lenny Clark going to Studio 54.
Drew Barrymore.
I met Dan at Studio 54 one night. I was opening for Kennison at Caroline's, and Don King comes in and says, "You want to go to Studio 54?" And I said, "Yeah!" So we get out of Studio 54.
So this is in the heyday.
In the heyday, when it's rolling. And this was just after E.T. had come out, a couple years after E.T. came out. And we go in this ante room.
Was he in there too?
What?
Was E.T. there too?
No, but you know who was? Drew Barrymore. And so we're doing blow with Drew Barrymore. Right. And I straight to Kenneth and I said, "This isn't right. She's a young kid." He goes, "Shut up. It's her blow." But the Indian wasn't in there with us. But I met the Indian going out. I think he hit on me. I wasn't sure.
Was he dressed like? How'd you know he was the Indian?
He was dressed like the Indian. I said,
he had chaps on? Nothing on
his head? No, he had the headdress.
The headdress.
Thank you, Hardy. I'm a mess.
Oh my God. He could come in every day if he wants. Yeah. Oh,
God. Lenny's the only guy who can tell a story and not offend anybody.
The thing that makes that joke work is I'm not sure it was a joke.
It's not.
It's not a joke.
It was not a joke.
That's him telling a story.
I think that was probably happened exactly the way he told
yes.
it.
Yes. Don King,
oh my
Sam
God.
And Drew Barry, like the Indian from Village People. What a freak show that place must have been.
Unbelievable.
Like, I know you.
So finally.
Ottawa, nuts there.
According to T-Bone, this date, for whatever it is, a magical date, the 12th of June, gave us many, many drops from this day in show history. Okay. So here they all are, all strung together. Complete non sequiturs. No rhyme or reason. Just all thrown together.
I love the Drake.
I got to get my team through that first period in Boston. Not going to be easy. Boston's probably the better team.
Whole cart facts they need.
Well, the wire didn't move.
Oh, okay.
Peace train my ass.
It's a runner's away.
Ah. What do you want to talk about, Zoe?
If it was 0 degrees out today. And tomorrow, it's going to be twice as cold. What will tomorrow's temperature be?
What's his name at Sex with the Bear out there in that movie?
Grandmaster D.
I think there may be an ape that got lost out in the woods that maybe Feasible. Had sex with a bear, and then all of a sudden you got this mutant thing.
There's something really distasteful, I think, about... I didn't say that.
I think you did. I think you did.
I think that's. I think that is an unnecessary beep.
He's got Hardy's got a refined palate. In case anybody.
No, I don't believe that happened as it was portrayed there. But there we go. That is this date in show history, gentlemen.
I think you did. Nope. That's okay.
No.
It's all right.
Didn't do it. Grandmaster D. Is that what Shaughnessy said?
Grandmaster D.
617-779-0985. We got some calls that are still hanging on the line. Why don't we get to those right after headlines and get into the noontime hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Time on a Friday on Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe's on a break, I think, Hardy.
Either that or he's got the T-bone syndrome. He's shrinking.
He shrunk. He hasn't been able to get his normal workouts in during the pandemic. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. It's the noontime hour on a Friday. Getting you ready for the weekend. We got some calls on the line. Open phone lines. You want to grab one, do it.
Let's let Zoe talk to this first caller.
Let's go to Bobby, who's in Revere. Bobby, go ahead. All you.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Bobby.
I was calling in about the racism in Boston that you were speaking about earlier.
Yes. Sure.
And anyone who gets offended has to be very young and not smart enough to know it doesn't refer to him. Or they should get the autobiography of Thomas Yawkey, one of the biggest racist people ever. Now, for Zoe himself, when he went out with his wife 2 weeks ago and stuffed his olives with blue cheese and took that other thing out, he didn't know what it was.
Pimento. I know what a pimento is. Yeah, it's disgusting.
And last but not least is the last caller who called our president a sociopath where he was in his car. He should continue driving out to Seattle and spend a month.
All right, Bobby.
Good call.
covered three various topics there all in 1 minute, and he did it on a good phone.
Racism, pimento, Seattle.
Seattle, right.
I'll hang up and listen to you
wonder
at how I was able to connect the three in 45 seconds.
Did he do it?
He did.
He did it. He was to the point. he was concise, and he used a good phone.
Hardy, you sure that wasn't your kid's old soccer
Bobby.
Coach? Are you sure? You're playing
it may have
the
been.
Mid-
it may
you're
have
the
been.
Midfielder. Move up. Stop crying.
It may have been. May have been the soccer coach.
Jesus.
That's a guy who gets things done.
He ain't got time to go to store and just, you know, buy invitations and spend money. You know what? You put on a paper and you run it off. That's how you do invites. Pool party at my house.
I like how he held on to the pimento take for a couple of weeks, too. Like, you know what? That's not by itself worth calling about. I'll hold on to that for my next call.
But I'll remember.
He did.
Pimento, hashtag never forget.
Wait, you think the pimento is gross, Zoe?
I think it's disgusting. It's like has no taste. It's just texture. I don't even know what that is.
It's a pepper, isn't it? Pimento pepper that they slice up?
I don't know. I guess so. I can't stand pimento.
Yeah, it's a little piece of pepper that they put into the olive.
In a perfect world, you stuff it with gorgonzola, like the real good blue cheese, the sharp stuff. That's like, now you got a bite. Now you got a bite.
I would say most people don't eat their olives that way.
Right.
I would say most people consume the olives with a pimento in there.
I think if you were given a choice at an excellent steakhouse, you would go with the blue cheese stuffed olives and not the pimentos.
But you're talking about what? In a drink is what you're talking about? You're not talking about eating them.
I think a green olive is absolutely disgusting to eat on its own.
What? Now you've lost me.
Nope. Give me a can of black olives.
Get out of here.
When I was a kid, I put it on every finger at Thanksgiving. I'm like,
you know what it is?
You're not eating black olives.
You're not eating the right olives is what it comes down to.
You can't eat those jarred and canned ones like that sit on a shelf for months. No, you got to get real ones from Italy if you're going to do it right.
Those are
pretty good.
Nope.
I'm
going to give you a brand to try.
Charcuterie.
You want to go
get
try.
A good charcuterie board.
I'm going to give you a brand.
What
okay? Mazzetta. Go get yourself some Mazzetta olives, okay? Whatever you like. I don't know that they don't do anything stuffed with cheese, I don't believe. But they do a garlic stuffed green olive.
Yeah.
Knock your socks off. So
have you ever done the pickled vegetables? Like green beans and that? Like the spicy green beans?
I have not.
Spicy pickling sauce? Unbelievable. In a jar. Really good. Good snack.
Yep.
Good snack.
Get those colossal queen green olives. That's what you need. That's what you got to get, boss.
Right.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Holly. He's been hanging on. Thanks, Joe. What do you got?
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Joe.
Hello.
Hello.
Joe.
Okay, we're going to put Joe on hold. We'll try and get him to a better spot there. We'll go to Mary, who's in Sarasota. Mary.
Hi, guys. Love your show. Thanks for all you do. I just wanted to mention that, you know, I'd love the players on the first game and Roger Goodell to take a knee, but maybe rise up after that and change the symbol altogether. So to say, you know, we know what's going on and we're finally aware of it. So, you know, that's an idea. But I'd also like to say, Dr. Hardy, I need your help. Because if we go into a second wave and I have to live with a daughter with misophonia, one more minute, I am going to go out of my mind.
Okay.
Oh, so has she been diagnosed with it?
No. As they said, it's called misophonia. She has not been diagnosed, but then she's told me that's what it is.
How old is your daughter?
She is 35.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the issue that goes on in my house on a daily basis, where we may the four of us just be sitting there enjoying a meal of food, and one person in particular, the one with the self-diagnosed misophonia, says, "Stop kicking," like, and it's I don't know if it's me or the kids, but it's like you may have just a slight little, Like with the foot on the rung of the chair or up against the cabinet at the counter. Stop it. Stop it.
Mary.
Stop it.
Like, Mary's got to give us an example of what her daughter has done.
Yeah,
I pump my left leg when I eat.
I get the stare. I get the eye roll. I've tried, you know, trying to find a cure. I've tried to start to drink.
So, Mary, no, but when I say example, what have you done?
Yeah,
what noise have you created that has set her off?
What sets her misophonia off? Oh. Yes.
Oh, she says, well, first of all, she says my voice is a little, I have some sort of back throat thing.
Oh, you have a gurgle.
Oh, God.
Oh,
my.
You've got a gurgle in the back of your throat.
And I seem to chew, even though I chew with my mouth closed, very noisily.
Oh, my God. So for those who don't know, misophonia is a thing where people are set off by certain sounds. And the chewing, like, God forbid you eat a Tostito in the presence of my wife, she'll go through the roof. She just can't handle
exactly.
it. And I've told her many times, I'm like, you really need to get your own place. Yeah, I mean, we can stay
well,
married and
that.
We
that's
can
what
do
you
everything.
Built that shed for.
I know, and I told her it.
What is she waiting on?
You got her a she shed. I mean, come on.
Well, it's a menstruation hut. But I told her you can just stay out there all the time. It doesn't have to be just for the 3 days a month. You can stay out there.
Oh,
put
God.
Your little magazines and a couple of candles out there.
Right.
Make it really nice, right?
I tell you, I've been dealing with this since she was like 18. And as I said, I tried to cure it by drinking. But all I got was acid reflux.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hate
favorite call. Favorite call of the year. Thank God. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
Oh, my.
This is one of the best caller segments we've had.
Seriously.
The cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah.
Right there. I start drinking, and now I've got acid reflux.
I threatened that cure with my wife, too. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just need to get back on the sauce so I can handle living with you, not being able to handle living with all of us. You know, that's my cure.
Wow. Joe in Marblehead. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to let you guys know that, you know, I've been working from home for the last few months. And you guys, you know, I throw on 98.5 at 6 in the morning and just go till about 4. And you guys have just been great. Like, between, like,
thank you.
Like the turtle to, like, Zolax, like, you know, mulch to eating outside. Like,
true, Pete. You know what it is? It's
sex education in New York City.
Sex education was a big, yes, big help.
Joe, did you know what toss thing meant?
Did I what?
Do you know what? Never mind. But, I mean, we talk about every day, Joe, small problems. We try to relate to the listener. You know?
No, you guys have been great. Like, you're
right.
Consistently
like Joe,
funny.
I go to a gas station, for example. I'm buying the 87 because it's the cheapest. I don't care what it does to my engine. What do you buy?
Well, you know, I like to go where they pump it for me. So there's like a Sparrow's.
Oh.
I live in Marblehead.
Oh. I live in Marblehead. Great answer.
I live in Marblehead.
Sorry. But you guys, you know, really, like, I just I've been listening and I laugh every day. And you guys, even like right now, like talk, you know, you guys are just really like a great show and you do a great job. So that's
thank
all
you,
I
Joe.
Want.
Thank you.
Is that all
much.
You had? Just a compliment?
Joe. Huh?
That's it. You just called to compliment us.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, right. You guys are kicking ass. Like, you guys are just funny. Like, you guys are, like, you know, you kill the time. You aren't just because sports is no sports, and you guys have been filling the time so much better than all the other shows. That's all. You know, it's been great. So just,
all right.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for the call.
It's our new positioning statement for the show. Zolak and Bertrand. We kill the time.
I laugh my ass off so hard this morning on Channel 7 because you get so inundated with the news nowadays because, you know, it's covering everything that's been going on in the world and it's just in a circular spin. It's just one thing after another, 24/7. They did a special on this moose that was loose in Lowell.
Oh, did you see that thing?
Yeah. They got the video. That sucker's running down the street. He's got the long legs. And I'm laughing my ass. Then it goes in a pond. And they're like, well, we really can't get it because they're actually really good swimmers, these moose. You know, so
you wouldn't think so with those skinny legs and that big upper body.
You know?
Right. Right. Right.
But they're probably pretty buoyant. They're very buoyant, the moose.
You think they'd be able to tie it up and, like, cut the legs down, you know? Like, take its legs out.
It's a goofy-ass-looking animal.
Like, it really is. Weird-looking. It is the most gawk.
You see deer, and you're like, oh, look at that. Look at, you know, deer. You know, you see ducks, and you're like, oh, those are cute. And they're, you know, they're kind of graceful in their own way. Right. You look at a moose, and you're like, what the hell's the matter with that
thing? Well, it's got that, like, Rocky Dennis joke. Like, boo! It's like it could be crossed between a donkey and a deer.
So you watch this on Channel 7. What were they calling it? Did they go with the obvious alliteration of moose on the loose?
Moose is on the loose, yes.
Super, I love Channel 7. I love it. It's a bullwinkle breakout. You know, like, of course.
They had to
come up with the most absurd alliteration. Marshall Hook. I blame Marshall Hook.
They sent an entire news team up there. Probably sent the truck, three producers, a camera guy, and a reporter. I'm Shelly Moose Smith here, live in Lowell. Channel 7 News. Yes.
Where's Kiki Wenzel? Where's Kiki? Chasing the moose up in Lowell. That's what's
who's
going
the guy,
on.
Who's the guy that's morphing into Lou Diamond
Phillips? Natalie Pozzo. I know all the Channel 7 people.
Oh, Yoshida. He's morphing Michael into Lou Yoshida. From, he's morphing into La Bamba.
Yeah, he hasn't got a haircut during this thing, has he?
Oh, no. And he's got the big pork chop sideburns working, so he really looks like Richie Valens. Yeah.
617-779-0985. And shout out to Joe Amorcito and Trey Dayer as well, the sports guys over there. We've got more on the Patriots. There was news this morning on the Patriots running back situation, which is the best in the league, according to Mike Tannenbaum. There's news there. Bad news, not good news. And also, you'll hear from Mark McGwire later this hour as we prepare for a big documentary coming up on Sunday night. Don't miss it. It's all on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.